Welcome to In The Zone, brought to you by U.S. Construction Zone, bringing you strategies for success with construction innovators and change makers, including In The Zone peer-nominated national award winners. Here are your hosts, Jeremy and Valerie Owens.
Welcome back to In The Zone. I am your host, Jeremy Owens. I'm good to be here again. We have a great guest again today. I'm just super humbled that he said yes to this podcast, as well as I'm just really excited about the level of and the quality of people that I've been talking to. I can't say enough about not only the live show, but on this podcast, being so fortunate and blessed to rub shoulders with men and women in this industry that are inspiring and inspiring others. It's a pleasure. I can't say enough about it. It's developing me and my leadership styles and my skills as a manager and an owner. And, I think if you can find yourself and rub shoulders with people of this caliber, you are going to be inspired. You're going to say, crap, I need to do better. And that's definitely the journey that I'm on right now. So, today's guest, Eric Anderton, of Construction Genius, he's right down the road from me in Sacramento. And he is a great communicator. He's a great speaker. He's a podcaster. He now is an author. And he's great not only on the one-on-one mentor side, but mentoring an organization to become better leaders and better owners and better marketers. And so give him a listen. And I just encourage you to say yes to things you're invited to, whether that is a roundtable or a leadership event, or whether that's just a one-on-one meeting with a random person like me. I would say yes, because you will be surprised at what you will get in return. So have a listen to Eric Anderton. Eric Anderton has been more than two decades of a career and entrepreneurial business experience alongside 25 years of public speaking, small group facilitation, and one-on-one mentoring. He also has a new book called Construction Genius that comes out in October. He is a trusted leadership advisor, executive mentor, and expert meeting facilitator for construction companies that range in revenue from $10 million to $1 billion. He is a happily married father of five, and he has contributed to the community as a coach of Little League and youth soccer. In addition, he has volunteered as a chaplain for the California State University Sacramento football team. Please help me welcome Eric Anderton. Eric, welcome.
Matthew, thank you for having me.
So, how are things? Are you in Sacramento area?
I am in beautiful Sacramento, California. We are forecasted to be 108 degrees over the weekend, Labor Day, so we'll be spending time at the river.
Yeah, I'm right down the street. I'm in Folsom. So.
Oh, nice.
We're in the same community, and my alma mater was Sac State. Did you go there as well?
I did not. I went to Humboldt State, but I moved down to Sacramento in 95 and spent quite a bit of time on Sac State.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and you're a coach as well. It looks like we have a lot of similarities. I do basketball, soccer, and baseball, so sounds like we're doing a lot of the same things on the weekends, right?
Yeah, you know how it is, chasing kids around.
Yeah, always a good time, though. I appreciate you being here, and yeah, let's just get started with what's your background in the construction industry?
Well, in 2004, I started working with an international franchise that provided a leadership development program. The franchise was called Crescom. I was working with a local franchisee here in Sacramento. And my first construction client was LB Construction, which is a framing contractor out of the Roseville-Rockland area. They were my first client in 2004. They're still my client today. And I just love construction. So that's how I started working in the construction industry.
Very cool. So, your background is unique. You have a BA in history. So it sounds like you're quite a history buff. And so, studying the ancient and modern history, how does that kind of shape some of your, I guess, leadership styles and how you kind of go to market now?
I think the fundamental insight that I've gained from studying history is that times change in terms of technology, obviously, but human nature fundamentally doesn't change. And therefore, the leadership principles that were applicable thousands of years ago, the way that human beings interact with each other, the challenges they have with communication, with getting the best out of a team, with building an organization, whether that be a nation or a company, those fundamental challenges that are faced by human beings are still the same. And so therefore, the insights that you can learn from the past can be used and applied in the present.
Yeah. Oh, totally agree. Do you have a favorite era or studying where you just find yourself can't stop watching or reading?
Yeah, well, as a boy, particularly my favorite era was World War II. I spent a lot of time studying both Churchill and Hitler. That era in the 20th century has been my favorite over the years and something that, you know, I constantly go back to.
Okay, cool. Yeah, interesting. I like it. So tell us a little bit about Construction Genius, because you've been doing that since 2004, correct?
Well, 2004, I was working with Crescom. In 2013, I launched my own company, Construction Genius.
And then I've
specialized my practice with construction companies. I work with a range of people from, you know, $20 million in revenue all the way up to $1 billion plus. And, okay. 95% of the work I do is with construction companies in the commercial space.
Okay. Gotcha. So you also have a podcast, Construction Genius. What are your goals with the podcast, and like what kind of guests and audience are you seeking there?
Construction Genius is designed to help leaders to improve their performance on a daily basis. And so I bring on people who own construction companies, run construction companies, and are influencers in the construction industry space. And the whole goal of the podcast is to help people to up-level their game as a leader. I don't take advertising as of yet on the podcast. I'm in the top 50 of the Apple management podcasts worldwide, and in the U.S. And I think that the main reason I do what I do is to provide leaders with the 1% of inspiration that they need to add to their 99% of perspiration. And that inspiration is designed to help them up-level their game so that their companies can be run more effectively and more profitably.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, going through what we've gone through the last few years, I mean, COVID especially, you know, us in the industry, I'm third generation in construction myself. So obviously not something that we could have predicted. And I know a lot of us were caught with our pants down and trying to figure out what this new landscape's going to look like. So in talking with some of these people, I know you definitely saved some, and a lot of them were larger corporations. What was the biggest challenge you think that they had and like that you were noticing over and over again?
Well, I think that this pandemic was actually designed for contractors in this sense. Construction companies are very good at responding to emergencies and responding to difficult situations. And so when COVID really hit in force in March of 2020, there was a pause. There was a decline for perhaps 90 days. There was a gathering of themselves, and then contractors just went out there and did what they do, which is kick ass and solve problems.
Yeah.
And I was right there besides them, helping them, particularly with the blend of the remote environment with the on-site environment. That was one of the main issues. But, you know, I was there to support them through it. I think that contractors, again, like I said, are built for tough times. And so they just took COVID head on and did what needed to be done to keep things moving and keep building projects.
Yeah. Do you know, when it comes to this pandemic and maybe other challenges come up, do you think this is going to be more of a norm for us? Whether it's a pandemic or whether it's just, you know, this emergency feeling of society we have today, should we prepare ourselves for something else, whatever that may look like?
That's a good question. I mean, the answer is I don't know. I don't know what's coming up around the corner. I do know, though, that what the pandemic has done is it has showed us how people respond when they are overwhelmed by fear. And one of the things that construction leaders have to do in order to be effective is they have to learn how to control their emotions. And so that's something that's fundamental to running a successful company, because there's ups and downs, there's conflicts and challenges every single day as a construction contractor. I think the pandemic has helped people to hone those skills, and whatever is coming around the corner in terms of economic uncertainty, or whether there's another pandemic or another issue, who knows what's around the corner. But I do know this, the lessons learned in the pandemic from the fundamentals of how to communicate, how to deal with crises, how to overcome challenges. Construction leaders have had their skills honed in those areas, and that will just serve them well for any future challenges.
Yeah, I mean, you said it good earlier. Like, we just, we're really good at putting out fires, because day to day, that's kind of what we have to do, right? Solve problems and, you know, material doesn't show up, figure out what to do with the crew. I mean, it seems like there's always a fire. So I guess we were pretty used to that. I mean, in California, you know how difficult it was, especially us working in the Bay Area. You know, there's so many challenges of like, you know, are we essential and like just that confusing part. But once we got through that, I mean, I think you're right. It was like full steam ahead. And then we started, the demand picked up. We're like, wow, I wouldn't have predicted that. But, you know, here we are.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's exactly what happened with my clients is, again, there was that 90-day dip and then poof, off we go. There was a massive hassle with having to deal with the various OSHA stuff. And and so, you know, they deal with it, right? Because, you know, that's what contractors do, is they get out there, they deal with the problems and they keep pressing forward. And that's what I've seen my clients do. And I think it's tremendous.
Yeah. And are you more on the commercial side, or do you have remodeling and commercial and home builders and all different sectors?
Yeah, typically I work with commercial contractors. I do have a couple of folks who do high-end residential. People who work with me because of, you know, the way that I work with my clients, they need to, you know, have, you know, relatively significant revenue, because I'm not cheap to work with. And so that's why, you know, I do a lot of work with commercial contractors, but high-end residential that are doing, you know, significant volume, I work with those folks as well.
Okay, cool. And I think you'd mentioned this a few times, and especially doing some research on you, you are, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, that people make or break a construction company. And like you said, maybe more so than other industries. So tell me, I guess, how you came to that conclusion and why you think it's such a missing ingredient for construction executives.
Yeah, I think one of my other great interests besides history is sports. And in reflecting on what makes a good sports franchise, one thing I've noticed is that the best sports franchise never settle. So you'll see the franchises that achieve at a high level year after year after year. One of the things that drives that is that they understand they have to play the schedule of games that they have, and they have to field a team. And yet they're always looking to upgrade that team, whether it is by training the people they already have, identifying the weaknesses and bringing in other people to replace them. The point is they are never settling with the quality of the team they're putting on the field. And that's exactly the same thing that contractors who exceed at a high level, who excel at a high level, they're doing the same thing. They're never settling. And this is the framework they're using. I'm always looking to put the right person in the right seat in my company. And what that means is that the right person is someone who is a cultural fit for my organization, and the right seat is they are a technical fit in my organization. And I am never going to settle. So I know, this is key, I know that I have to field a team, and I may look at the team that's running this particular project, and I can say, that's not an A team. But I can't just fire everyone because I've got to build the project. I've signed on the dotted line. I have an agreement. But I am not going to settle. I am always going to be looking either to upgrade their skills or to bring in other people and make sure that I've got the right people in the right position so that I can build at the highest possible level.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfectly said. I mean, like I said, I'm third generation. So thinking about my grandpa's industry, he started in 1956. And, you know, back then it was just a different, definitely a man's club for sure. But then it was also, the management style was always so aggressive. You know, it was like, I'm not going to tell my staff what they're doing good. If, you know, we want them to just, you know, work hard. And there wasn't a lot of talking going on. There wasn't a lot of like, let's talk about your spouses or your kids. It was just all business all the time. And now it's changing. And, you know, I'm noticing it that business owners are starting to grasp this, that we can't just, it's not business as usual. And so what are you seeing there? Are we making improvements there? Or are we still way back in the past?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. So it's funny you mentioned that, because I think it ties into a bit of history as well. So let me give you a thought here, see what you think of it.
Sure.
The style that many people were familiar with in construction, let's say all the way from, let's say, the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. What was that driven by? It was driven by the fact that many people who were running businesses came from a military background, either from World War I or World War II. and they had a military command and control perspective on how an organization should be run. Now, we haven't had a major war here in the United States. What I mean by major is an all-encompassing society war, you know, that encompasses all of society since 1945. Therefore, that military mindset is not something that is a part of our culture. And what that requires construction leaders to do now, and we're all doing this now simply by the process of the generations coming along, is change our leadership style. And with that in mind, I've developed a very simple leadership framework that I emphasize with my clients to help them remember the three messages that they need to communicate on a daily basis to their people. And this is completely different from the command and control, get stuff done, I'm going to yell at you if you screw up, I'm going to fire you if you suck. It's completely different from that. And so all you have to do to remember that framework is to grab your ear. And let me explain that to you. Just grab your ear. Now, how do you spell ear? This is not a trick question.
E-A-R.
E-A-R. Okay. So the E, that stands for encouragement. Okay. The A stands for accountability. The R for recognition. Okay. E-A-R. Encouragement, accountability, recognition. Now, what does that mean? Encouragement means this. You're looking at the people in your organization. You've given them the training that they need, the resources that they need, the support they need. You look them in the eye and you say to them, you can do it. That's the phrase that you're always repeating in terms of encouragement. You're putting your arm around their shoulder and you're saying, you can do it. You've been given everything that you need. Get out there and get stuff done.
Yeah.
Then comes the accountability. And the phrase to remember with accountability is this. Did you do it? Did you do it? So you've given them the charge, you can do it, and then you follow up with them. Did you do it? And when you're having those accountable conversations, which for many people are uncomfortable, you frame it in a very simple way. You ask them, did you do it? If not, why not? How can I help?
Yes.
Did you do it? If not, why not? How can I help? So you've got your encouragement, you've got your accountability, and then the last is the R, the recognition. And the recognition is, you did it. And when you're effective with recognition, you're specific and personal to the person who has achieved, and you're also consistent. And what I mean by that is this. Many times in our organization, we have these A players who are consistently achieving at a high level, and we kind of forget about them sometimes. Because we know that they're always, because we're always worried about the people who are screwing up, but our A players we can forget about. Don't forget your A players. Right. Make sure they're getting the consistent, specific, personal recognition that they need. So again, just to summarize, to remember those three messages that you must communicate on a consistent basis with your folks, grab your ear, E-A-R, encouragement, accountability, recognition.
Yeah, I mean, I think recognition to me has been such a missing ingredient in construction. And I know other industries have this more figured out, but you're totally right about the A players. But not only that, like, isn't it true that that so many people need recognition in their work life to really feel satisfied? And if they're not getting recognition, you know, is that a recipe for them just trying another career?
Yeah, and I think that's really important because people don't quit their jobs, they quit their managers, right? We all know that.
Yeah.
And the one caveat I want to make on recognition is this. One of the failures of our culture now, I believe, is that we have a sort of a rec sports culture, right? Where everyone gets a trophy for showing up, right? And you know, I love rec sports. I coach a lot of rec sports. But my point is this. Construction is not recreation, it's competitive. And that means you get recognition when you win. And so if you're winning and if you're doing well and if you're excelling, then you get the recognition. Now, if you're not, you get some accountability and you get some help. But I'm not just going to dole out recognition just for someone showing up on time or doing their job. Only if they exceed do they get the recognition, because that's what I think that's really important, because if everyone gets recognized, then really no one gets recognized. You only recognize performance that excels.
Man, that's a great point about rec sports. I'm going to steal that one. I'm sorry.
Steal away.
That's funny. So what inspired you to write your book, Construction Genius? And it comes out October 20th, right?
Yeah, it comes out in October. The big inspiration is very simple. Leaders of construction companies have a couple of different challenges. One is when they promote someone into a new role, that person typically is very good at building a project. Let's say you take a project manager who excels and you promote them into a project executive role or a leadership role where they have now more people reporting to them. And they're not just responsible for one project, but they're responsible for people who are running multiple projects. That shift from building projects to leading teams is something that a lot of people struggle with. Yes. And so the core of this book is to help people make that shift by teaching them straightforward, no BS leadership techniques. And then the other aspects that construction company owners struggle with is developing and implementing a very clear strategy and then excelling at sales and marketing. And so those are the three pillars that I cover in the book. Number one is leadership. That's the foundation. Number two is strategy. And then the third one is sales and marketing. And I was inspired to write the book simply because I know that every single construction company that I've worked with needs help in those areas.
Yeah, I mean, there's no secret that being a contractor, quote unquote, is it's a low barrier of entry, right? So, you know, obviously you don't get that license and have these things, right? Unless you're born with them or had them in a different career. If you're not actively seeking out leadership, you know, strategy, sales, marketing things, you know, where are you getting them, I guess, is what I'm saying. So I think you're right that everyone struggles with them because that's not something that you necessarily know going into your job.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing is a lot of people, they start a construction company because, you know, they work with it. Let's say they work with a company. I know plenty of guys have done this and they look at the guy and they're saying, maybe they figure out how much the guy's making. And they're like, dude, I can do this, yeah. Right? I can run a project. I can bid some work. I can land a couple of projects, right? And so they start their own gig and more power to them, right? More power to them. But just because you can build a project and just because you can win a bid doesn't mean you can run a company. And so you've got to learn how to do that. The goal of my book is to teach you how to do that from the perspective of leadership, strategy, sales, and marketing.
Gotcha. Gotcha. How long did you work on the project for? Is this something you've been thinking about a long time?
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing a book for a very long time, but it's something I've been working on now for the past year or so.
Okay. Right on. So October 20th, where do we go about finding that? Is it something on your website?
Yeah, there'll be a link on my website. You can go to my website, constructiongeniusbook.com, and then you'll also be able to find it on Amazon, Audible, all kinds of different places.
Okay, cool. Just let me know if you ever do anything locally. I'd like to support you where I can since I'm right down the road. And so keep me posted on how that goes. That's really cool. I mean, I think a lot of people want to write a book and they have all these things in their mind, but I guess putting it down on paper and getting it organized, that's probably not easy, right?
It's not easy. No, it's a labor. I'm not sure it's a labor of love, but it is a labor.
Guess you have to really write,
it's
right?
It's just a straight up labor. You know what I mean? But it's worth it. You know, I know that the stuff that I've developed over the years based on the work that I've done with contractors and the things I've learned has a tremendous positive impact. And so this is just another vehicle for people to be able to interact with that and use it for their benefit.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. We have a couple fun questions that we want to ask you here to end it.
Sure.
Zone, session there. So as a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Got to admit, I wanted to either be a soccer player or a pop star.
Oh, well, at least you're still, you know, are you playing soccer at all or just coaching it?
No, just coaching. And I rapidly figured out that I, you know, by the time I was 12 or 13, that I did not have the athletic talent to be a soccer player. So my athletic ambitions quickly were put away.
I had the same one. I was a basketball player. And then in high school, I was like, nope, no, I'm not.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Second question here. If you have your own late night talk show, who would you want to be your first guest? Yeah. Might be a historian for you, huh?
Okay, so I'm just going to throw this one out. I would say Dostoevsky.
Okay.
Okay, so he's the guy who wrote the Brothers Karamazov, and so he's a Russian author. And I think that Dostoevsky had prophetic insight, and he was prophetic in the way that he wrote. And let me explain what I mean by that. He had an understanding of human nature. And he also understood how what was happening in his contemporary culture was going to have an impact on the future. And you can just, it's really interesting when you read what he wrote, you see that insight, the insights that he had. And that would make him, I think, a very interesting guest just to talk about, let's say, human nature, and also then perhaps his perspective. Let's say he was up on contemporary culture, his perspective on contemporary culture and what the impact of that culture would be in the future.
Yeah, that's got to be a God-given talent. That's not something you learn, I think, to be that, you know, prophetic.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, being able to see like that, it's just, and it's funny because you just when you're reading it, if you understand the history of the time that he was writing in and then what followed what he was writing, you're blown away by his insight. So he would be very interesting.
Cool. Good one. Good one. All right. So last one here. Who is the most influential person in your life?
I'm gonna narrow this a little bit, and I'm gonna say from a business perspective. And and I would say the most influential person in my life was a gentleman. His name is Bill Cole, and he is actually the guy that I worked with in the Crestcom business back starting in 2004. I met him by chance at a networking event in Sacramento, and then he and I began to work together. And he, if I hadn't met him and learned from him about the business of running a company like mine, I never would be in the position that I'm in now. So I would say Bill Cole is someone who's been a tremendous positive influence in my life.
Very cool. Are you still in touch with him today?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Not as much as I'd like to, but you know, we're still in touch.
Cool. Right on. So what's the best way to get in touch with you? Is it your website?
Yeah. Website and podcast. Podcast is Construction Genius. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. Website is constructiongenius.com. And then for the book, which is called Construction Genius, Effective, Hands-On, Practical, Simple, No BS, Leadership Strategy, Sales, and Marketing Advice for Construction Companies, you can go to constructiongeniusbook.com. And that's coming out in October.
Cool. Thank you so much. I have listened to your podcast. It's great. The content's great. Leadership, your voice, you definitely got a voice for it too, man. There's something very soothing about it. So keep doing what you're doing. Let me know how I can support you from Folsom, and good luck with the book as well.
Matthew, thanks for your kindness having me on here today. I really appreciate it.
All right. You have a good day. Into Eric Anderton of Construction Genius, right down the road for me, which is pretty rare for me to be talking with someone, anyone near me. But he's a wealth of information. If you have not heard his podcast, Construction Genius, check it out. His content is great. His leadership style and what he provides content-wise is top-notch. And so do give him a look-see and check it out, because it really is helpful. Like I said, construction business owners typically struggle with some of these management styles, and leadership is definitely one of them. And, you know, I just like what he had to say about the importance of people. And we definitely have not done a good job as an industry in treating our employees well. It's just been way too aggressive and way too casual. And now, now it's time to improve and change. And it's not only about leadership. It's just about people. It's about talking to them. It's about being present in their lives and asking about their families and their kids and their sports activities. That has been missing in the construction industry. And I think as you do this more, you're going to attract more women, you're going to attract more minorities, you're going to attract more talent to the industry, as opposed to just a boys club of, you know, just get your work done and that's it. So if you haven't really kind of developed this leadership style yet, or maybe you're a small business and you're still trying to kind of figure this thing out, start now, even a little bit at a time. Just pick off something every year, whether that's leadership or sales or marketing. Pick something, try to learn about it every year so that you are setting yourself up for success. And a gentleman like Eric is a perfect person to get in touch with. So thanks again to him. And thank you all for listening to In the Zone. I am Jeremy, and I will see you or hear you, or you can listen to me next time. Thank you.
Listening to In the Zone with Jeremy and Valerie Owens. Be sure to subscribe to In the Zone and stay in the know with the best minds in the construction industry. To nominate an innovator or change maker in the construction industry, connect with your management peers, and stay up to date with construction industry news, be sure to visit usconstructionzone.com.